This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So once again, before I commence, just a reflection on Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah's words. He said, "Kullu baldatin yakunu fiha arba'a fa ahluha ma'sumuna min al-bala." Every locality, community, country by extension, in which four categories of people will be found, then that community will insulate themselves against divine tragedies. The first is Imamun Adil, a just ruler, a hakim, a governor, a ruler who rules and executes justice. The second is Alimun Ala Sabil al-Huda, scholars who walk the talk, who exhibit the teachings, who execute the teachings of Islam. Mashaykh ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhawna 'anil munkar wa yuharriduna 'ala talab al-'ilm wal Qur'an. Scholars who advocate virtue, prohibit vice and evil, and exhort people to learn and understand the message of the Quran. And nisa'un masturatun, women who conceal themselves and who are modest and bashful in their dress and their garb and in all regards. A community that would have these type or these categories of people, فَأَهْلُهَا مَعْصُومُونَ مِنَ الْبَلَىٰ, then such people will protect and insulate themselves against the tragedies and the trials of times. And our endeavor of the synopsis of what is recited in the Taraweeh Salah is also in this regard, on the third category, مَشَائِخْ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحَرِّذُونَ عَلَىٰ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْقُرْآنِ, that we're trying to urge, implore, exhort, motivate, and spur people on to getting connected with the message of the Quran. So we concluded yesterday on Tahweel Qibla, and we spoke about the aspect of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the respective, blessed, sacred organs of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people are going to frown and object on the fact that now that you've turned back to the Kaaba. And the truth be told, if someone is obstinate in nature and they are unwilling to lend an attentive, unbiased ear towards the truth, وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ, and if you were to present before the people of the book every proof and every evidence, مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ, they were still not going to follow your qibla. And likewise, amongst themselves as well, وَمَا بَعْضُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَةَ بَعْضٍ, they do not follow the qibla of each other as well. So if a person is open to listen and focus and lend an attentive ear, then you can engage and you can explain and convince a person. But if someone is rigid and he is obstinate and he's stubborn, then there's no way you can convince such a person. Whereas the Quran goes on to say, the truth be told, the people of the book, be it the Yahud or the Nasara, they know you so well, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now listen to this, my respected listeners. This is the beauty of the Quran, and we learn so much out of it. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, those people whom we have blessed with the book, يَعْرِفُونَهُ, they recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, as they recognize their own children. In the ninth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. And the scholars highlight something here. Allah did not say, يَجِدُونَ نَعْتَهُ, يَجِدُونَ صِفَتَهُ, يَجِدُونَهُ. That these people, when they read the divine scriptures, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described in such detail as though they literally see him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in their divine scriptures, ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ. The noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well have been described in the divine scriptures. So Allah says they recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like how they recognize their own children. And the scholars tell us that the greatest form of recognition, there's multiple forms of recognition. A child recognizes a parent, he recognizes a tutor, a mentor, a friend, a colleague, a sibling, etc. But the greatest form of recognition is that of a parent to his child. And why is this recognition greater than the recognition of a child to a parent? For two reasons, amongst other reasons. A parent has seen the entire body of a child. whereas a child has not seen the entire body of a parent. There are certain organs that remain modest and bashful, and obviously a child would not cast his glance on those areas of the of a parent's body. But a parent, when the child just arrives as a newborn, a parent has seen the entire body. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that a parent knows the child from birth. A child doesn't know his parent from birth. There is a period that passes and the child grows and develops and certain milestones, he crosses. And thereafter, he recognizes that this is my parent. Of course, there is an attachment to his mom, which is part of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the level of recognition of a parent to a child is far greater. So they have no doubt that this is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then why wouldn't they accept? حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Because of jealousy that this is from Bani Ismail. How often don't we see a person might be supporting an individual, or he listens to him on radio, or probably he follows him in some activity, and he kind of develops a sense of allegiance. And then in his mind, he has a perception that this person shares a common ethnicity like myself. And then finally, when he meets the person, and then he's like, okay, this is not what I thought. And I'm in for a rude awakening. And now he has an anti-climax. And these are sad realities of life where we have a prejudice. Oh, I thought the color of his skin was like mine. I thought his mother tongue was mine. I thought his ethnicity was mine. I thought his inclinations were mine. And then now suddenly you ignore the merit of the case. You ignore how profound he was. And you focus on your own prejudice. And this is sad. حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That after the truth had become apparent to them, jealousy over the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was from Bani Ismail, and hence they did not accept the prophethood and the risalat of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We then move on, and in fact, in Sawi, which is the commentary of Jalalain, in the footnotes of Jalalain, in the seven Jews where this ayah appears, so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had asked Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a former rabbi when he reverted to Islam, he said that Allah says in the Quran, you people recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam like how you recognize your sons. He said, yes, O Umar, in fact, our recognition for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was even greater. And Sayyidina Umar said, and how could it be even greater? He said, وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا تَصْنَعُ النِّسَاءُ. I cannot say with absolute certainty that my wife was not disloyal to me. I assume this is my child. I believe this is my child. I trust that this is my child. But I don't have that absolute guarantee that there was no level of infidelity, disloyalty that had occurred in the union and the relationship. But when we match the description in the divine scripture against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all doubts were cleared and all reservations were moved. Those who chose not to accept, as the Quran refers to this as, wajahadu biha. Right? This is in the context of Pharaoh, but it applies in a broader context as well. So in Arabic, you have Aba, you have Jahada, and you have many other words. Jahada means to refuse verbally even when your heart is convinced beyond doubt. That is Juhud. That is why the Quran said, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ أَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They verbally said, no, no, this is not a prophet. Moses is not a prophet, alayhi salam. But their inner selves was convinced. Why did they refuse? وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّا ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّا. Out of arrogance, out of pride. This is why they chose to deny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts open that we can always embrace the truth. Pride and jealousy is an impediment. It's a hurdle. It's an obstacle. It's a blockage. A proud person will be denied from the truth. A jealous person will be denied from the truth. I was just reading the quotation and the advices of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu in the chapter of Mawa'id. He says, man kathara, the person who remembers death in abundance, qalla farhuhu wa qalla hasaduhu. He will boast less and he will harbor less jealousy for people. People say, what's the way out to rid my heart of jealousy? Well, think of death often. Your boastfulness will leave you, and likewise, your jealousy will leave you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, in the same juz that we were discussing, in the second juz of the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَىٰ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Oh, you who believe, seek help. Ista'ana yasta'inu isti'ana talabul awn. Ask Allah for help and assistance. Through what? Bis-sabri was-salah. Patience and salah. That is the way forward. So in the first juz, Allah spoke as well about the leaders from the Ahl al-Kitab, that when the people would come to them and say, is this the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They would say, yes, accept his message, but don't mention anything about us. So they would allow and encourage their people to accept the truth, but they themselves would shy away from the truth. And hence Allah said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do you advocate virtue to people and you forget yourself? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Whereas you read the Torah, in which the warnings of contradicting the teachings have been mentioned there. So you read in the divine scripture and it sounds a strong warning for those who advocate a virtue, but they don't practice upon it. I must say something here to qualify this. In Bayanul Quran, Hakimul Ummah has emphasized this at great length. The ayah is not suggesting that if you don't practice, you cannot preach. But rather the ayah is suggesting when you preach, practice. Now there's a big difference between the two. You know, like someone said, I exited from my house and I didn't have the intention to look at a strange woman and my gaze just fell. So they say, عَدَمَ قَصْدَ نَظَرْ كَافِي نَهِ قَصْدَ عَدَمَ نَظَرْ زَرُورِ. This sounds like real mantiq now. Okay, I can see our scholars here really nodding their heads and having a chuckle here. عَدَمَ قَصْدَ نَظَرْ كَافِي نَهِ. It's insufficient to say, I did not intend to look. You need to consciously intend not to look. So here's another analogy. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. Allah says, وَآخَرُونَ and others, اِعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They conceded their wrong. خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They had mixed good deeds and some bad deeds. When we look at the lives of the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, their life was brimming with virtue, and yes, there were occasional mistakes they made. When we look at our lives, it's brimming with sin, and yes, there's occasional virtue. Now you could say, well, in the life of both, there's virtue and vice. No, there's a big difference. The hallmark of Sahaba, the key of Sahaba is that there's virtue. Yes, there were occasional mistakes, but as we will discuss, if time allows, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah had forgiven them all. So the ayah is not saying that if you don't practice, you cannot preach. The ayah is saying that when you preach, you need to practice. تَبْغِي النَّجَاةَ لَمْ تَسْلُكْ طَرِيقَتَهَا إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. The poet said, you seek in salvation, but you're not walking the path of salvation. O foolish man, do you expect your vessel to sail on earth? No, it's not going to sail on earth. So Allah then told them, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. وَاسْتَعِينُوا, because why? It was حُبَّ جَاهِ and حُبَّ مَالِ. It was the crave of wealth and the crave of fame. So I have a position here. I am anchored. People are saluting me, respecting me, revering me. And if I change my faith and I accept, I will compromise my position. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, he started and initiated the Munafiq sect. And how did it start? Prior to the arrival of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, people were on the verge of inaugurating him, of crowning him. And it coincided with the grand arrival of the paragon of Allah's creation. And obviously, there's no two opinions when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present. There is no second personality. And so he lost his position and his profile. And then he started his venom and he started his poison. And this became difficult for him to deal because his honor was compromised. The Salik, those who tread the path of spiritual reformation, they will tell you the last malady to leave the heart of a person who chooses reformation, if he's fortunate, that will be prior to his death, is the passion for fame and recognition. That's the last illness to leave the heart. It's such a challenging illness and it is such a difficult thing. May Allah protect us. So the way out in Bayanul Quran to free yourself from حُبَّ جَاهِ and حُبَّ مَالِ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And then Allah reminds us about those who are martyred in His path. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ. And do not say to those who are slain in the path of Allah is deceased. Of course, they have died a physical death and they've moved on from this world. Bal ahya, they are alive. And today we recited in the fourth juz, ahya'un 'inda rabbihim yurzaqun. They are alive, they have been sustained by their Lord. Farihina bima atahum Allahu min fadli. They are pleased with what Allah has endowed them with. Wa yastabshiruna billadhina lam yalhaqu bihim min khalfihim. In fact, I have a thought. We all, mashallah, our listeners are punctual reciters of Surah Yasin, and may Allah reward you and accept from all. In Surah Yasin, Allah reminds us of a tale of a person which some people say his name was Habib and others have left it as Abhimuma Abhamahullah. What Allah hasn't disclosed, there's no need to probe it. So two messengers initially went to a particular community. Some say it was in Taqiyya, which is in Sham, and others have suggested a different location. So two messengers had gone. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثْ فَقَوَّيْنَا بِثَالِثْ. We then sent a reinforcement, a third messenger. And they came to the people and they said, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We are messengers from Allah. So the nation retorted by saying, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are humans and mortals like us. وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And Allah hasn't revealed anything. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You are nothing but liars. So again, look at the tone and the language and the demeanor of an envoy of Allah, a person who represents the deen of Allah. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. Not harsh, not abrupt, not hostile, not foul language, not obscene, not derogatory, not inflammatory. رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ. Our Lord knows that He has sent us. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. Really, you bring a bad omen, a bad omen. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. If you don't stop preaching, we will stone you to death. And it continues. So when this whole thing between these envoys and the community continues. Now, my listeners, I'm saying to you, with the grace of Allah, probably some of you have been reading Yasin for 20 years, some for 30 years, some for 40 years. May Allah accept. Amazing. But have you ever concerned yourself about the contents of Yasin? Have you ever concerned? This is something in Surah Yasin, which Allah puts in my mind and I'm sharing with you. This is something you read in daily for the last four decades of your life. But look at the richness of what it contains. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ. And a person comes. مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَ. From the most distant part of the city. يَسْعَى. He comes running. قَال. He says, يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh my people, follow the messengers. And what more proof do you need on the truthful nature of these envoys when the reality is, اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Follow those who are not asking any remuneration from you, any compensation. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they are guided. And then he goes on to give da'wah in a very polite, diplomatic way. وَمَا لِيَ. The scholars say, He was actually referring, وَمَا لَكُمْ. وَمَا لَكُمْ. What's wrong with you that you're not accepting? But he focused it to himself, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي. You see, this is da'wah. This is the beauty of our deen. Right? Ibrahim Ali, okay, my mind's going to run. Let's just focus here. وَمَا لِيَ. What's wrong with me? لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why should I not worship the Allah who created me? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to whom you will all return. أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. Should I make partners with Allah? إِيُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرٍّ. If Allah intends afflicting harm on me. لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Those deities cannot intercede in any way. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. And they cannot rescue me in any way. إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. He openly declares. And in that he gave a subtle hint. I brought iman on your Lord. On your Lord. So he already told them your Lord is someone other than who you believe. And that is one Allah. Fasma'oon. Listen to my message. So he openly declared his iman. Unfortunately, the nation were harsh on him. And they fell upon him. And they mercilessly, cold-blooded, killed him. And then he passes away. And he is elevated into the gardens of Jannah. And then what is said to him, when he enters into Jannah and he sees the hospitality and the honor that Allah had honored him with, and we're speaking about this verse of the Quran, he says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al mukramin. I wish my people in the world who have abandoned me, who have ditched me, who have launched me, who have forsaken me, I wish they can realize what I'm enjoying. so they can also change their lives and come and join me and enjoy these bounties. And what did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Nasaha qawmahu hayyan wa mayyita. This man advised his people while he was alive, even after his death. And you know what else the scholars tell us amazing about this story? That such a great incident is mentioned, but Allah didn't highlight his name. Allah said, وَجَاءَ رَجُلْ. So what is the message? The message is, خُلِّدَ عَمَلُهُ وَلَمْ يُذْكَرْ إِسْمُهُ. The name was not highlighted, the action was highlighted. The key thing in life is, don't worry about recognition. Do the amal, my brother. Do the action. Do the action. Let there be ikhlas in what you do. May Allah bless us all with ikhlas. And then Allah reminds us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Now, again, if you look into the emphasis of the grammar, بَلَا يَبْلُوْ لَا نَبْلُوَنَّ. There's lam taqid, there's noon thaqeela. Most certainly we will test you. And in another verse in the 17th juz in Surah Anbiya, Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you بِالشَّرِّ with evil, meaning with adversity, وَالْخَيْرِ prosperity, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And to us is the ultimate return. In Ruhul Ma'ani, under this ayah, the quotation of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu is mentioned. He said, بُلِينَا بِالضَّرَّاءِ فَصَبَرْنَا وَبُلِينَا بِالصَّرَّاءِ فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. Allah tested us, that's the galaxy of Sahaba, with adversity, and we persevered. And then Allah tested us with prosperity, and we couldn't deliver on the test of prosperity. Surely Umar delivered on both tests, and he excelled on both fronts. And his utterance, or his statement, or his proclamation is a testimony of the fact that the test with prosperity is far more challenging than the test of adversity. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu undoubtedly was an individual amongst others in the galaxy of Sahaba who had excelled on both adversity and prosperity. But Allah reminds us, my respected listeners, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. Now again, I'm saying, sometimes you're going through a challenge in your life, right? Today after Jummah, one brother was speaking to me and he said, you know what, things were going pear-shaped in my life. A car got stolen and then my wife got diagnosed and this happened and that happened. And there were ripple effects. Now, at that time, the devil tends to, prey on your thoughts. And he tends to indoctrinate so much negativity. And at that point of confusion in your mind, you open up the Quran or you come for Salah. And the verse being recited is, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. I cannot tell you what the relevance of that ayah will do to your iman while you're experiencing that situation. There's a friend of mine who went through a tragedy and his son was diagnosed and then Allah granted him shifa, but it was a long walk and it was a challenging time. And he's a scholar as well. And then we just shared some light moments and I just gave him some hope and courage, and alhamdulillah, the child recovered. He said, one verse kept me going throughout my ordeal. I read this all the time. And this is human nature, that when you're going through something, your body is screaming to read something. Because there's frustration, the mind is blocked and clogged. In fact, I must tell you, Allah says that when they are tested, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In Ma'riful Quran, in Surah Yusuf, in the fifth volume, under the verse, Ya asafa ala Yusuf. When Sayyidina Yaqub lost his son Yusuf, he said, how I lament my Yusuf. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. And his eyes became white out of regret, out of grief. And he became ضَرِيرُ الْبَصَرِ. His vision started deteriorating. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. كَظَمَ in Arabic, linguistically, if you look at the etymology and you dissect it, it means where you choked up within yourself with your emotions. So your lips are sealed. You no longer want to speak about it, but your mind is blocked off and everything you are containing within. Probably if this man has to spurt out, there will be blood and not saliva. This is where the body reaches its absolute internal capacity and you're just holding on. فَهُوَ كَظِيم. So internally, Sayyidina Yaqub, he was a human, he was a bashar. Alama Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi writes, Yaqub fi sadrihi qalbu basharin la qit'atu hajar. Yaqub fi sadrihi qalbu bashar la qit'atu hajar. Yaqub was a prophet, he was a nabi, he was a messenger, but there wasn't a rock here, there was a heart here, there was a human qalb, there was emotions. From a psychology perspective, they say, what is the greatest challenge humans have? We are social creatures. So when a person moves on, you can replace his activities, but the closeness and the proximity, that vacuum is what humans grapple to manage with, because Allah, no human is an island. We are social creatures by nature. So Ibn Jarir has made mention of a narration that the Nabi of Allah, Yaqub, when he lost his son or he was separated, he didn't say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said, Ya Asafa. And from there he deduces and he quotes a narration, and you can read it, I've given you the reference, that Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un is also amongst the specialities of this ummah. It's amongst the specialities of this ummah that this ummah has been blessed with the recitation of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that at a time of difficulty, at a time of affliction, they recite Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It gives them comfort, it gives them solace. So I was speaking about this friend of mine. He said to me that in my entire ordeal, when my son was diagnosed and back and forth, in and out of clinics and doctors and surgeons and the rest of it, he said, I took solace from one ayah which me and my family, we kept on reciting repeatedly. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا قُلْ say, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا nothing afflicts us إِلَّا but مَا that كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا Allah has decreed and ordained for us هُوَ مَوْلَانَا He is our guardian, He is our well-wisher, He is our Rabb. عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا Upon Allah we trust. So Allah reminds us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ Fear of the enemy, of hawadith, of situations. وَالْجُوءِ Hunger. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ A reduction in your wealth and your children. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ What did Sayyidina Imam Shafi say? إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ Oh my brother, I am consoling you. لَا أَنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ I'm not consoling you on the loss of your beloved because I know that I won't die and my beloveds won't die. It's not like I came to say, hey, I'm sorry to hear about that because listen, I'm here for eternity. No, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ We have not ordained eternity for anyone. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُم مَيِّتُونَ You are going to leave, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are going to leave. نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ They said, we're waiting for death to overcome him. So Allah said, أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ They're waiting for you to die. Are they going to live forever? No, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُم مَيِّتُونَ And by the way, linguistically, if you analyze this, the scholars say, مَيِّت is الَّذِي سَيَمُوت And one who has passed away, the correct word is mate. Right? Just into little grammar, and that you can see it's mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil. مَيِّتٌ الَّذِي سَيَمُوت So there's a beautiful poem there also, but I don't want to go into all those details. So death is inevitable. So Imam Shafi said, إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ I am consoling you. لَا أَنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ Not because I'm going to live forever. وَلَكِنْ سُنَّةَ الدِّينِ But it is the teachings of Islam. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ تَوَاصَوْ from Babi Tafa'ul To mutually encourage one another on patience and on truthfulness. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَى إِلَى حِينِ Neither the one being consoled nor the person consoling will see eternity. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ That's the rhythm of life. That's the pattern of life. Sometimes you part with a beloved and sometimes you part with a near and dear one. So anyway, the message from this verse, my respected listeners, is in a challenge, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ is amongst the specialities that Allah has blessed this ummah with. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ Such people enjoy the exclusive blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Safa and Marwa, those who perform the Hajj and the Umrah, and may Allah make us amongst them. So, Inna Safa wal Marwa, the two mountains and the two hills are from the landmarks of Allah, from the symbols of Allah. And remember, وَمَن يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ Respecting, revering, honoring the landmarks and the symbols of Allah is a testimony of taqwa in your heart. فَمَن حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اِعْتَمَرْ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا So the polytheists used to have their idols on the mountains and on the hills. Hence the Quran made nafi of junah. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ There's no harm on those that that commute between Safa and Marwa. But of course, it is a ritual and it is obligatory. According to Imam Shafi and Imam Malik, it is farad. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, it is wajib to do that sa'i in as part of your umrah and your hajj, etc. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, there's so many things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the crisis between the follower and the leader on the day of Qiyamah. So this is the brutal truth. The losing team is always the arguing team, right? I'm getting some smiles here. The team that loses are always blaming. And it's pointing fingers. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. When the orchard was burned, the brothers among themselves started mutually accusing you. And really, Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, and I've once given a talk on this here, stop the blame game. Today, the Ummah is in a blame game. We need to rise above this year. One of the realities of hell is, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Verily, this is a reality, the mutual arguments of the occupants of hell. So they will be dealing with the flames of hell. Allah protect. إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ. Hell will throw out a spark, tarmi bisharar kalqasr. The spark of hell will be the size of a palace. Ka'annahu jimalatun sufr. It will be like yellow camels. And the scholars say, as the spark drops to its smaller form, it will still be the size of a camel. That will be the spark, not the flame. Can you imagine what that fire will be? Naran ahata bihim suradiquha. The tents will be of fire. وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. And if they ask for water, يُغَاثُ, they will be aided بِمَاءٍ like water, with water. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. شَوَى يَشْوِ, in literal what we would say to brine, to barbecue, to roast. شَوَى يَشْوِ, it will roast their skin up. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ, he will try and drink it. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ, but it won't go beyond his throat. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Death will approach him from every angle. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُ. It will not be decreed for them to die. وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا. The torment will not be reduced in any way. يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ. O Malik, negotiate with your Allah and tell him, listen, we don't want paradise. Just tell him to cause our death. Okay, if your Lord doesn't want to do this, يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Ask your Allah to negotiate. We're asking for a breather. My listeners, this is Quran. By Allah, I'm saying it's time we connect ourselves with the Quran. يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Ask Allah, we just want to get out of hell here, one day, freshen up, and then we come back in. The Quran says for years they won't get an answer. And when they'll get an answer, إِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا. Just stop there and drop there. وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. And don't open your mouths. Don't speak to me. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. My servants worshipped me. You made a mock out of them. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًّا حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي وَكُنْتُمْ مِّنْهُمْ تَضْحَكُونَ. So the intensity to such an extent that the occupants of hell amongst themselves, they will exhaust every avenue. They will say, let's try this year in this world. If you're subjected to incarceration and imprisonment, then if you behave well as a prisoner, then you have a drop in your sentence. You know, like you're a good prisoner. And then the warden gives you a drop and they probably put you on parole. So they will say, okay, let's just be silent. So now they will try and hold back the emotions and they won't scream, understanding the gravity and the intensity, but they will be silent. And they will realize this won't work. So then they will say, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. Really, this is just too much. أَجَزِعْنَا, whether we cry, أَمْ صَبَرْنَا, or we persevere, مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. There's no escape. وَإِنْ يَسْتَعْتِبُوا فَمَا هُمْ مِنَ الْمُعْتَبِينَ. And if they want to apologize, Allah says, I don't want to listen to your apology. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا. Well, the verses just continue and continue. I can just get lost into it because it is so deep and it's so real. Now I'm telling you, you're reciting the Quran and these verses are coming across you. Your hair is standing, right? اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِي. Allah has revealed the best of speech. مَثَانِي, its messages are repeated. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. Those who fear Allah, their hair stands on end. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ. Then it softens up. The scholars say this variation is according to the different ayat that are recited in the Quran, according to that. So with all this intensity and pain and affliction and punishment that they would experience, can you imagine, to add salt to injury, amongst themselves there's fighting, there's arguing, there's blaming. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That on that day, friends will become enemies, but those that had fear of Allah. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. In Surah Ankabut, Allah says, mutually accusing, blaming. And the best, you know, the entire Quran is in its absolute best form, but probably one of the more detailed explanation of the arguments of the dwellers of hell, I used to always impress on the students in Dars, is in the 22nd juz in Surah Al-Saba. So Allah sketches the image, and this is what Allah is saying here. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. When the deviant leaders will disassociate from their followers. Hey, listen, you didn't follow me. مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ. مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا. Listen, I don't know who you were following. So everybody will just disassociate. Imagine you go against your family. How often it happens, and may Allah protect, a son launches his parents for the sake of his friend, and then in the end his friend ditches him. A person falls prey to infidelity and loses his partner, and then for the sake of someone else, and that person ditches him or her, and you lose it. Or you give up your job that's intact for something else, someone who has dangled a candle, a candy before you or a carrot before you, and now you're tempted with that, and when you get there, nothing comes your way. So you have this pretext and this assumption that these people will rescue me, but the Quran says, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا. When those who were followed, تَبَرَّأَ, they will disassociate. مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا, from those who followed them. وَرَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ, and they will see the punishment. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, and all the internal relations and connections will be severed. So Allah says in the 22nd juz, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. My word, Allahu Akbar. So when the criminals, if you had to see, وَلَوْ, if, تَرَى, you seen, when the criminals, مَوْقُوفُونَ, will be summoned and they will be standing before Allah, يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. They are back and forth. Yeah, you like this, you like that. You know when it gets ugly and personal and one at another. يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا, those who were perceived to be weak, will say to those who were mighty and arrogant, لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ, if it wasn't for you, we would have been believers. It's because of you. قَالَ, they're not going to sit back and say, no, you're right, it was because of us. No. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا, those in power and might will say to those that were weak, the followers, أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَى. أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْ, did I prevent you from truth? Did I say don't go to the masjid? بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ, you are sinners yourself. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. You remember you used to plot in the night, you used to tell me this, you used to tell me join me to the club and the pub and all the wrong. But the truth be told, this will be a superficial game they'll be playing. The reality, wa asarru nadama, internally guilt, regret, and even the devil. Allah speaks about the devil in the 13 Jews. In fact, I used to often say that, you know, public lecture, who? The world's greatest devil himself. Venue, hell. Audience, occupants of hell. Duration, brief address. A theme, what got you into hell? This is the Quran says. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Oh man, it's going to take too much time and I'm not going to be able to move on from here. Those that are interested, you could read the tafsir. It's in the 13 Juz in Surah Ibrahim. So anyway, Allah speaks about how one will disassociate themselves from the others. And that's the time this blame game will go. So what will happen now? When you want to vent your rage on someone and you cannot do anything, and you find yourself, him in pain and you in pain, he's in affliction and you in affliction. So the only way to psychologically comfort yourself, what they will say, رَبَّنَا هَؤُلَاءِ أَضَلُّونَا فَآتِهِمْ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah, okay, I'm wrong and he's wrong. But just do me one favor, Allah. Whatever punishment you're going to give me, please just double it up for him. This is real, my brothers. This is real, my sisters. قَالَ لِكُلٍ ضِعْفٌ قَالَ لِكُلٍ ضِعْفٌ Allah says, there's double for you and there's double for him. رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَتَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Allah is asking, where are you leaving this Quran and going? Qatada said, عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ وَطَاعَتِهِ Where are you leaving this Quran, O Ummah? That this is, two things have paralyzed the Ummah. Our internal fighting and the fact that we've abandoned the Quran. We move on. Allah speaks, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ Oh man, we haven't even started with today's, like, So what had happened was, when the Prophet ﷺ turned direction back to Mecca, people started making this an issue. No, but you're not following, you're not stable in your Qibla direction. Decide what you want to do. And then what about those that passed away in the interim? So Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ أَيْ لِيُضِيعَ صَلَوَاتِكُمْ Jalalain writes that. That those who passed away during that 16 months and faith, because they said, well, either the Kaaba was right or Baytul Maqdis is right. Decide what's right. So those that were facing Baytul Maqdis, now these are the kind of things that they come and make these whispers. And Allah says that this is what the devil does. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ Allah says, prior to you, we have not sent any Nabi. إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّا أي إِلَّا إِذَا قَرَأَ أَلْقَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ أي أَلْقَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قِرَاءَتِهِ That when the Nabi recites, the devil comes and puts thoughts and whispers. إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ حَسَبُ جَهَنَّمُ You and whoever you worshipped besides Allah will go to hell. So they said, oh, okay, his Quran is saying this here. Well, that means his Quran is saying that Isa alayhi salam will go to Jahannam because innakum wa ma ta'buduna min dunillah. So the ulama say the answer is that Allah didn't say innakum wa man ta'buduna. Allah said innakum wa ma ta'buduna. Right? And you know that's the will uqul and ghair the will uqul. And there are many other answers I'm just giving you. So this is the nature that when the verse is revealed, then the devil will come. When the verses came down, don't eat from an animal that just dies naturally. So they came and the devil put this thought, oh, this is so strange. When an animal dies naturally, that means Allah has given it death, then it's haram. But when you kill it, it's halal. Oh, okay. So the killing of Allah makes it haram and the killing of man makes it halal. These are the kind of devilish whispers and indoctrination. I often mention that of Iyas ibn Muawiyah, that somebody asked him, so strange, you say alcohol is forbidden. He said, of course. But then how ironical, all the individual ingredients of alcohol you say is fine. Separated water is okay. Sugar is fine. Okay, it's not good for your health and that, right? It weakens your immune system and drops your resistant levels, the little that I know. So sugar is fine. Grape is fine. Grape juice is fine. And then when you put the combination together, suddenly it's haram. So he said, yeah, that's the truth. And I can bet many Muslims will say, yeah, that sounds right. That's really, leave the people asking, Yas ibn Muawiyah, you got me thinking, yeah. Right, you got me thinking. I was in London giving a talk, and there was some non-Muslim priest attending the opening ceremony of the masjid. And so I mentioned this. So one priest came to me, he said, I was blown away by that analogy of yours, man. Can I share this to my congregation in the church? I'm like, go for it, my man, it's yours. No worries. Share it. Our deen is وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينٍ أَيْ بِبَخِيلٍ The Prophet ﷺ wasn't a miser when it came to truth. And this ayah refutes or separates him from a fortune teller. Because a fortune teller would mise with the truth. He would say, no, I'll tell you this little, pay me so much. But the Prophet ﷺ was open. He shared everything. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha said, he conveyed the truth to us with the verses where Allah praised him. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا And he also conveyed the verses to us where Allah modestly reproached him. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى وَتُخْفِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهُ So anyway, let me share this with you quickly. I'm saying these are the devilish indoctrinations. So Iyas ibn Muawiyah said, yeah, that's fine, that's correct. He said, لو أخذت كفا مما, if I take some water in my hand and I sprinkle it on you, أكان يوجعك, will it hurt you? He says, no, it's not going to hurt me. Probably I'll get a bit moist and wet and, you know, just water all over me. Okay? لو أخذت كفا من طبن فضربتك أكان يوجعك, if I take sand and I hurl it at you, is it going to injure you, bruise you, maim you? No, not at all. Probably I'll get a bit dusty and just get soiled slightly. Okay? لو أخذت كفا من طبن فضربتك أكان يوجعك. If I take some grass or straw and I hurl it at you, is it going to hurt you? No, probably. I'll just get a little dusty and, you know, uneasy, but it's not going to hurt me. Okay, لو أخذت كفا من ما. If I take the water and then I put it together with sand and then I put the straw over it and then I put it through a baking process and then I make it into a solid brick and then I hurl the brick towards you, أكان يوجعك. Will that hurt you? نعم وقد كان تقتلني. Probably it will claim my life. He said, exactly. Every individual ingredient is fine, but when you put it through a process where it ferments and it becomes an intoxicant, it becomes harmful. He said, Subhanallah, I'm convinced on the truth of Islam. Wallahi, Islam has an answer for everything. I don't have it. You don't have it, but Islam has it. The ulama say, when the Prophet ﷺ sent Sayyidina Mu'adh to Yemen, he said, Bima taqdi ya Mu'adh? Oh Mu'adh, how will you decide? He said, Bi kitabillah, through the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Fa illam tajid. And if you don't find it in the Quran, he said, Bi sunnati rasul, through the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the ulama say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, Fa illam yujad. He said, Fa illam tajid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, if it's not found in the Quran, he said, if you don't find it, if you don't find it, he said, Ajtahidu bi ra'yi wa la alu. Right? It's in the opening of Usul al-Shashi. I'm sure some recollection here. Yeah, I don't want to put you guys on the spot here with Nurul Anwar and everything. I don't want to make you an awkward spot, but you know that hadith is right in the beginning. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then put his blessed hand on the chest of Mu'adh. Alhamdulillahi alladhi waffaqa rasoola rasoolillahi ila sawab. Alhamdulillahi alladhi waffaqa rasoola rasoolillah. All praise belongs to Allah who guided the messenger of the messenger of Allah. That I'm Allah's messenger and you are my messenger. So when tahweel qibla took place, the disbelievers started moaning and groaning, and they like, oh man, you know what, you're not stable, you're not deciding one way, this way. So Allah said, listen, of course, qibla to face, there is a direction, but the truth be told, every nation has a particular direction. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Every nation has a direction, but the key thing is do the virtuous thing. Hasten to work. Don't stagnate on this. So now they kept on harping. You know, some people, they will not. The nature of some people is they deflect from their wrong by focusing on your issues. This is the nature. And the ulama have made an amazing analogy. Pharaoh's hands are soiled with tens of thousands of children. His hands are soiled. He's killed tens of thousands of children. Musa alayhi salam has unintentionally, inadvertently claimed the life of one person. And that also to defend and to protect a victim, as the Quran makes mention in Surah Qasas. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh deflects from his tyranny and his oppression and his brutality. And what does he say? وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. But you know what you did when you did and you were amongst the ungrateful people. أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمْرِكَ سِنِينَ. But didn't I nurture you and you lived here in my palace for many years? So he took the focus of his oppression and he's focusing on one thing which was really not a mistake. Because Musa alayhi salam even made dua to Allah, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfir li faghfara la. And under that ayat in Surah Qasas in Ma'riful Quran, there's a whole academic write-up about how a Muslim ought to live in a non-Muslim state, the respect, the dignity with which he needs to live, and how he needs to respect the law of the land that does not infringe or encroach on the teachings of Islam. The whole write-up is there, the academic write-up. So Allah says, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ. Virtue is not only turning towards the east and the west. That's wrong. Don't limit it to that. That is important. It's integral. But now you know, the whole of deen is not resting on this here. But, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Those who bring iman on Allah and the prophets and the angels. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And they discharge wealth despite its love. In Bayanul Quran, the marja of حُبِّهِ is amazing. They give wealth despite their love for wealth. So Alama Hakim al-Umar writes that this ayah releases a hint that the pious, it's still within reason that you like your wealth. It's natural. Allah recognizes it. That you give the wealth despite liking it. And that is what is most beloved to Allah. So it's not a sin if you like your wealth per se. لا بأس بالغنى لمن اتقى الله عز وجل. The hadith of Musnad Ahmad, there's no harm if you fear Allah with your wealth. But it's possible. It's wrong to expect that piety takes you to a point that you don't like your wealth. And I've mentioned this before, that for the wealth to be beloved is not a problem. For it to be more beloved than Allah, that's a problem. Allah said, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ. So for it to be mahbub is fine, it mustn't be ahabba. For you to like it, we all, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدِ. Your khair means wealth. Allah says, we all love our wealth. Or آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ could mean آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّ اللَّهِ. You give the wealth on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the beauty, right? Those who know Arabic will appreciate. فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. That when the prophets came, they returned their hands to their mouth. If you see in Tafsir Uthmani, what Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes, so the nation opposed the prophets. فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They returned their hands to their mouths. Either it means they took their hands and blocked the mouths of the prophets. Don't speak. Or the second is, فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They took the hands of the prophets and blocked the mouths of the prophets. Or فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They took their hands and blocked their mouths. Like, what are you talking? And if you look at this year, from a Nahwi perspective, from a grammatical perspective, it perfectly sits into all the context. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. Here, if you look at it, the Mufassireen say, it could mean the group that goes out in the campaign should educate those that remain, or those that remain behind should educate those that strive. From the Nahwi perspective, the ayat could fit both the scenarios. This is the beauty of Quran. This is the beauty of Quran. I hope I'm not being too intricate for the layman, but, you know, in the same way that it could even, you know, get the scholars to appreciate the beauty of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about wasiyat. Wasiyat. So initially, prior to the shares being legislated, it was mandatory upon a person, kutiba, it's decreed alaykum, idha, when hadara ahadakum al-maut, when death approaches you, in taraka khair, if he's left behind wealth. Again, the scholars say from this, it's permissible to be pious and leave behind wealth. You know, some people take it to another level. No. When you die, you shouldn't. No, why is there an injunction in place? And this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran. In taraka, if he's left behind khair, what is written upon him? What's ordained? Al-wasiyyah, he must make a bequest. So at that stage, there was no legislated shares. The verses of mirath were not revealed. One of the last verses of mirath that were revealed was regarding the kalala, which is in the 6 juz. So he's got to make a wasiyyah, al-wasiyyatu lil-walidayni wal-aqrabina bil-ma'roof. Within reason, he should stipulate, and bil-ma'roof means it shouldn't be more than a third. So he should make a bequest for his parents and his relatives within a third. And then the remaining goes to his children. This was in the initial stages, but was subsequently abrogated by the revelation of the verses of mirath. Haqqan al-muttaqeen. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَمَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. One of my teachers used to impress upon this ayah a lot, and he used to say that the dying person, the muhtadhar, he wrote out the wasiyah and he stipulated it. Now those who come and alter it, those who come and amend it, those who come and tamper with it, they change the wasiyah after the death of the person, then the sin and the crime will be upon those people. Yes, of course, if the dying person displayed favoritism. فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. He displayed favoritism to one member over the other, and hence the executive explained the heirs that this is the more correct way. فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Then there is no sin. But like I mentioned, after that the verses were revealed regarding the stipulated shares, and now there's a detailed explanation, and that's the beauty of Islam. I mean, I was hoping to have spoken about Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu Idha Tadayantum, where Allah speaks about recording your dealings. In that one, the longest ayah of the Quran, the ulama have deduced more than 20 principles of business. One verse, the longest verse, more than 20 ethics, principles, rules, and guidelines of life. Now we come to the aspect of fasting and, of course, the month of Ramadan. Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been ordained upon you. It has been obligatory upon you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Now look at the teaching, look at the format, look at the explanation. to make it easy, to make us understand. It's not only us. Fasting was coming down from the previous nations as well, from the top coming down. But then Allah says, the aim is just not hunger and abstinence and just to starve you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ The goal is far greater. This is an exercise. This is a ritual. But it is there to propel you to a greater goal, and that is taqwa. Often today, unfortunately, and I had once given a talk exclusively on this here, we're stagnating at ritual level and we're not excelling to the goal. The aim is taqwa. The aim is, this is an exercise. This is not the goal. The goal is so that we achieve taqwa. And how do we achieve taqwa? The scholars write that just as through fasting, you learn in discipline. You learn, and you see that when you learn discipline, your body, you achieve so much. How much we achieve in the month of Ramadan. And I keep on saying, you take your dishwasher, right? I mean, the basics that we know, we probably might not be so skilled about it. But you have, a deep wash or light wash or wash and rinse or half an hour cycle or 1 hour. Whatever cycle you put it on, whatever you program it on, accordingly, this machine will function. And this human body is amazing when it comes to adapting. Allah has given this human body amazing ability. I have traveled to countries in the world where, no jokes, no exaggeration, the weather is minus 20 degrees. And the real feel, minus 35. That's what they call it, the real feel, minus 35. So water put outside here in 5 seconds is more chilled than the water coming out of my freezer after overnight. So this is real. And then the night you plug your cars up to like a warm device to keep it warm. Otherwise, the engine freezes. The rivers freeze up, etc., etc. And then you go to areas where temperatures are 50 and beyond. But humans are amazing. Allah has made us that we can adapt. We can adapt. And if we bring about the discipline that we have in Ramadan and we continue it, then of course, subhanallah, that is what is expected of us. Now see how Allah makes it easy for us. Allah says, ayyama ma'dudat, few days. I was speaking to my honorable mom just 2-3 days ago, and she's making dua that Allah give us the ability to observe the month with great fervor and passion. And she's saying to me with tears trickling down her eyes, but Allah is so kind. Only few days, like 330 days we eat in only 30 days. And that's exactly what Allah says, ayyama ma'dudat. You know, often I say, sometimes you sit our local brothers in the masjid, may Allah reward them. They're going out for jola. They're going out for 3 days. The brother is giving the talk there and he's speaking 15 minutes. My mind, with the grace of Allah, tends to put everything into the context of a verse. And often his entire talk is verses of the Quran. It's just that he doesn't know and we don't know. So he's saying it in a simple way. Brothers, our success and the success of the entire mankind lies in obeying the commandments of Allah and following the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And then he says, listen, my brothers, if Allah gives us something, then nobody can stop it. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. And if Allah stops it, then nobody can release it. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَ... Wallahi, I just say, Ya Rab, this is Quran. This is Quran, right? And then he says, listen, Allah has the power that Allah can change the night into day and the day. تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. And Allah can create the living from the dead, and Allah can create the dead from the living. And yes, Allah says that يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And we don't have any ability to cause anything to grow. مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا. And Allah gives us the water, and we don't have this water. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنتُمْ. And so the it's Quran. It's Quran. So my mom is saying to me, it's few days. I'm like, ma, this is in the Quran. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. And then also, Allah says, it's few days, and I made that few days also easy. If you get sick, then you have concession. If you're traveling, even that few days are made easy. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا Whoever is sick. أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرْ If he's on a journey, a شَرْعِي سَفَرْ Right? Because now you're going to town, and that also you say, I'm traveling. You know what I mean? That is a lughawi safar and not a shar'i safar. So what the Shariat recognizes by تَتَغَيَّرُ بِهِ الْأَحْكَامِ In which the laws change. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ Then he has few other days to count. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ And this was a concession in the initial stages, and that's the more authentic view here. Other scholars have given other views, but this is what Hakim al-Ummah has made mention in Bayanul Quran and other Mufassirin, that in the initial stages, there was a concession that even if you had the ability, but you didn't want to fast, then you could give fidya and that would offset it. But this concession was abrogated by the revelation of فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ. So this concession was then abrogated. And if you have the ability, you have to fast. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا. Whoever does any virtue out of his own will, فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Good for you, my brother. The more you do, the more you receive. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى وَالِدَيْهِ نَظْرَ رَحْمَةٍ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ نَظْرَةٍ حَجَّةً مَبْرُورًا. قَالُوا وَإِنْ نَظَرَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ قَالَ نَعَمَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَأَطْيَبُ. The one who looks at his parents with love and mercy, he'll get the reward of accepted hajj. Now this is like a bonus, this is a giveaway. So it's not like in the world, if it's a giveaway, it's only one at a person, and then they stamp you, and the camera captures you. No, you were here earlier. No, I know you. Give me your ID. No, that was my brother. We twins. No, 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 no. When it comes to Allah, إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِن نَفَادٍ. This is our provisions. It's inexhaustible. It never gets exhausted. So you, oh Prophet of Allah, I'll go look at my mother 100 times a day. If I can get hajj, I'll just sit and look at her. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Naam, Allahu Akbar wa Atyab. Wallah, I often say, and may Allah guide one and all, many a youth today, they cast such a nasty look at their mothers, I'm afraid that Allah will deprive them of the reward of the hajj. There's no in the hadith, I'm saying it. Looking at your parents will give you the reward of hajj. But some kids, they make such nasty, such dirty looks, such harsh gazes at their parents. May Allah protect us, that I fear that it must not be that it ruins the entire... In fact, I must just mention something here. I have a thought here. Allah speaks about A'raf, right? Surah A'raf. So A'raf is Arafah, to recognize. And A'raf means a high wall. So A'raf are people, istawat hasanatuhum wa sayyiatuhum. They are people whose good and evil is equal. One of... ultimately, they will go to Jannah. This is the view, and it's mentioned in the Quran, etc. One of the views of who will be in A'raf will be a young man who participated in campaign. He went in a ghazwa and he was martyred, but he went without the permission of his parents. His martyrdom will block him from entering into hell, but the lack of consent from his parents will block him from paradise. Read it. Ibn Jarir has mentioned it. When I read this, I said, Ya Rab, what status and rank Allah has given to parents. I am not saying the wrong of a parent is a right. I'm not saying that, because a lot of times youth tell me, but my context, there's a way, there's a protocol, there's a procedure. I'm just saying, understand. A person came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and he said, my dad told me to get married. Now my dad tells me to divorce. What must I do? Abu Darda said, I don't know what you must do. And that's the last thing you want to advise someone about. You know what, get married or not. The other brother told me something. He said, my marriage is going so good, I'm thinking of opening up new branches. You know, your shop is doing well, so I'm going to open up new branches and everything. Yeah. They say, my marriage is doing so good, I'm thinking of opening up. Okay, that's just on a light-hearted and humorous side. Yeah. So Abu Darda said, I'm not the one to tell you divorce. Ma ana billadhi, I'm not going to tell you. However, I will tell you the position of your father. Al-walidu awsatu abwabil jannah. The hadith of Abu Dawood. And the shurrah say, awsatiya is in the meaning of afdal. Your dad is the best way to get into paradise. فَإِنْ شَئْتَ حَافِظْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْبَابُ وَإِنْ شَئْتَ دَعْ. Listen, young man, the choice is yours. Preserve the door to get into paradise or break the door. That's all I want to tell you. So Allah says that فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And then Allah says that in this month of Ramadan, the Quran was revealed in its entirety, that is from the lower mahfuz to the first sky. And then Allah says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ, whoever witnesses the month, فَلْيَصُمْ, then he should fast. And the scholars say this ayah abrogates the concession of not fasting for people who have the ability. But then Allah says, the other concession still remains. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا. So there isn't takrar. There isn't takrar. You know, all this is just beautiful. That the abrogation is of one thing, the abrogation is not of the other. Hence Allah repeats this here. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And whoever is on journey, or he is sick, then فَعِدَّةٌ. And I must say to those that are ill and traveling, it is of course, it's rukhsat and azimat. So rukhsat means it's a concession for you not to fast. Azimat means that it is better for you to fast. However, it's perfectly fine. And sometimes we need to emphasize this point as well. A person is sick and a Allah conscious, a specialist has advised him. These are the two things in the books of fiqh. He is hadiq and he is salih. He is skilled in his field. He is an expert in his field, and he's Allah conscious as well. And he's advising him that, listen, you cannot fast at the moment. These are two key things. So it shouldn't be a non-Muslim doctor because he doesn't have your religious interests at heart. It shouldn't be a Muslim doctor who is not well-versed, because he will have your faith at heart, but you won't have your health at heart. And that's the balance of our deen. That's the balance. So he must be, excelling on both fronts. He has the best of both, and he advises you, then it is correct to take the concession. Sometimes we don't take the concessions that Allah has given us, and we make religion more complex than it is. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ Haraj. In the footnotes of this ayah in Jalalain, it's mentioned that in this deen, there's legislated concession. There's legislated concession. So Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends ease for you, and Allah doesn't want difficulty for you. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. But yes, you've got to complete the days. And I'm going to end on this note here. So if you have not fast, then you have to make qada of those fasts. You have to make qada. Now the scholars tell us linguistically, and this is so amazing, and I will end on this note. I know I'm on the dot here. Ikmal. So we have two words in Arabic. We have ikmal and itmam. Just see the beauty of Quran. So ikmal and itmam. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. They say ikmal, between ikmal, there is futur zamaniya. In ikmal, it could be interrupted by intervals. While itmam, there's tasalsul. So the deen was completed today, 23 years, ikmal. There was revelation, it stopped, it continued. Walitukmilul idda, you fasted, you couldn't fast, you resume immediately after Ramadan was Eid, and then you had a gap. So that is both, for those who don't understand Arabic, ikmal and itmam, loosely both translate as complete, culmination and completion. But there's a fine line. That is why in Arabic they say there is no synonyms. There is no synonyms because there's a fine line differentiating al-farqu bayn al-mutaradif, as they would have these dedicated books. So anyway, ikmal is where there is futur zamaniya, there is interjections. So the deen came over 23 years. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, that you complete your fast. And you could do it after Ramadan immediately, ideally, or with a gap or an interval. But when it comes to itmam, itmam means once you start, then uninterrupted, you complete it. So وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. The deen was completed today. There were pauses in revelation, but the favors of Allah continued. The favors of Allah were right across, right 23 years, non-stop and beyond. The favors of Allah never cease. Itmam of ni'mah took place by the completion of deen. In it, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Allah didn't say أَكْمِلُ الْحَجَّ. Allah said أَتِمُّ. Because once you don the ihram, you cannot stop the ihram. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. You cannot stop your fast and observe the fast and then end it and resume it. So this is the beauty of the linguistics of the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for my weaknesses. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and endow us all. Our listeners out there, I hope, I pray, I wish. And out of all my dars, alhamdulillah, I get positive feedback that many people say that you left me on a guilt trip. And I've decided to study the cause of the Quran and change the focus of my life. And that's what I'm saying, my brother. This is how you can connect to Allah and how I can connect. And this is the glorious Bal Huwa Qur'anun Majid, this glorious book that Allah has blessed us. Let's seize the month of Ramadan and let's take this opportunity and connect with the word of Allah. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
By Islamic Media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s and DVDs at SOKIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SOKIslam. SOUKISLAM.com.